The following message was given by Brother Edwin Wrighton in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, November 12, 2017. The title of the message is The Flow of Life with the Ministry of Life. Scripture verses are Ezekiel chapter 47, verses 1 through 5, 9, and 11.
We do turn our heart to you. We need you, Lord. So we open to you. We pray that you would speak this morning. We need your speaking. We trust in you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. This message, I have to admit, I don't like it. Because when you get all the way down, you will realize the real issue is how deep is the flow of the Spirit. And then if you look around, I'll be the bad guy, I guess. Because how we need the deep flow of the Spirit. But anyway, we trust the Lord will speak this morning. But actually, my prayer this morning is for a particular group of saints. This group of saints are the ones who should be bearing the burden of the service, of the ministry, of the gospel. And you might say, well, who are these so special? The young adults. I dare say, from the 30s up to, I don't know. Brother Israel, can we say the early 60s? Yeah, okay. From the 30s to the early 60s. So we trust that this group of saints will receive the burden. So we really need to see how crucial this is in the church life, the matter of the flow of life. In other words, life flowing to others. This is what we need. So the thing is that how deep is this flow? We need to see what makes it deep and what makes it not deep. I don't think we should do self-analyze. However, it seems to me that there was a time in the recovery when the flow of life, the flow of the Spirit was deeper. And to me, that was in the early days of the recovery in Eldon Hall, Los Angeles. I feel that the flow was deeper at that time. One thing that is very much required for the flow to be deeper is that we must be one in heart, have a heart to build up the church and to shepherd the saints, as mentioned in Psalm 133. So the level, whether it's deep or not, is very important. In the early days, we didn't have that much truth as we have now. Today, we have so much truth, even the highest truth, by the Lord's mercy to us. But what about life? We have truth, but how much life? Whether the level of life is greater. Maybe I describe a little bit the situation in Eldon Hall. Some of it I saw myself, and some of it I heard. Especially I heard that in those early days, there were men sitting in the front row, bare feet or sandals, long hair, some pigtails, and yet they were enjoying the Lord. When you walked on the street, somebody from across the street would say, "Praise the Lord!" And the other one said, "Hallelujah!" Amen. Right in the middle of the street. And they were a little loud. Of course, that is not the flow of life. But, some of these brothers were really transformed. And now they're serving in the churches. In fact, at least one of them was here, came from California. So somehow it seems that the flow was deeper at that time. In the late 60s, it seemed that the attraction was so great that some Spanish-speaking saints from the church in New York City and from the Third Baptist Church dropped everything and moved to Los Angeles. You know, at that time, I can't say I was that clear about the recovery. So I thought these people were crazy, leaving their jobs, everything. What was the attraction? The attraction was the flow of life. So we need to see this. We could never beat them in being loud and in doing activities, but that's not the issue. The issue is that there was what seems to me a deeper flow of life. So I'd like to again remind those young adults, this message is for you. I'm burdened for you. So then let's read John 7, 37 to 39. Now, the last day, the great day of the feast. Jesus to God and Christ. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, the Father says, with his mouth, rivers of living water. Interesting, here it doesn't say river, it says rivers. These rivers are the distinct, different aspects of life, originating from the one unique river of water of life, as we see in the New Jerusalem in Revelation 22, 1, 2, 3. We need to be clear that when we speak about the flow of life, we're speaking about the all-inclusive, life-giving Spirit. Amen. The Spirit is the one that flows. The flow of life actually means identification with the resurrected Christ. The flow of life is certainly not the flow of our life, but the flow of the divine life. We need to be so clear about that. It's not really a merely objective flow, but it's the flow from the life-giving spirit within us, not in the third heavens only. So we need to be so aware. But by the way, are you aware you have the life-giving spirit inside you? Do you realize you have another person living inside of you? Sometimes we're not so aware. You know, we go through situations, the roof caves in, and we struggle, what are we going to do? We forget. We have the answer right within us. How we need to have the increase of the flow of life from the Spirit. There's a way for this flow to enter into us, as the Lord promises in John 7. He promises if we come to Him, we will have rivers gushing out into eternal life. We need those rivers gushing out. So how we need for the church life, we do need. This is not for us. This is for the building up of the body of Christ. We need the living water of resurrection that we can build up the body of Christ, which will end up in the New Jerusalem. But there's some requirements for this. First of all, in these verses, it tells us, if anyone thirsts, do we thirst? Maybe we're satisfied. Maybe we feel, oh, well, you know, others are worse than I am. I'm not that bad. We need to be thirsty. And then, not only thirsty, but he says, let him come to me and drink. We need to come to the Lord. So then we can have the flow. Whether it's a trickle or more depends on some points that we will mention now. We ask the Lord, and we need to, of course, believe in the Lord. Otherwise, nothing happens. And to call on the name of the Lord. The Bible tells us that to call on the name of the Lord is the cup of salvation. Calling on the name of the Lord is not a small thing. We see this in Acts 2:21 with the notes. This is one thing I had to testify concerning Brother Benjamin Chen. He always sat next to me for almost 50 years. No, more than 50 years. And when he sat next to me, he would, oh, Lord Jesus, oh, Lord Jesus. I had no choice. I had to start calling myself because we came early. And then we were ready for the meeting. By the time the meeting came, there was a flowing of life. So with this brief word, I trust no one considers calling on the name of the Lord a small thing. As I mentioned when we had the blending time with the brothers, oh, by the way, the blending time with the sisters is coming. Sisters, get ready. Amen. I mentioned some of the history And what happened at one point that, you know, we had a couple hundred saints at that time, not too many. 100 of the functioning, active, living members moved away. And it was even difficult to share on the Lord's Day. But we had a group from Taiwan. They came to encourage us to do prayer reading. And they even had a prayer reading that was a little different. And there was such an encouragement to us. So we need the deep flow of life. So let's now read Psalm 81:10. I, Jehovah, brought you up out of the land of Egypt with your mouth wide to fill it. Let's read again just from open your mouth wide. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. I give you a testimony. When I came from a denomination, in that denomination in the Lord's Day meeting, we had the Lord's table, of course. And at the Lord's table, we all got our little cup, and we're told to hold the little cup. Then the pastor would pray, end of story. No praying from the saints. The only time, about once a month, since I was a deacon, I was able to pray for the offering. That was it. When I came to the church, oh, I was deeply touched. The saints were praying at the Lord's table. But I wasn't used to pray at the Lord's table. So I had to struggle for some time. I don't remember how long. Eventually, the Lord gave me this verse. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Then I had the courage to stand up and pray. Praise the Lord. If we trust the Lord, even if you never open your mouth in public, you can do it. Because I did it. So this is a wonderful verse. So then, we come to Ezekiel 47:1. Let's read this verse. Then to the entrance of the house, there was water flowing out under the threshold. The house faced east, and the water flowed down below the south side of the house on the south of the altar. So here we have a description of this river of water of life. And we have some aspects of where it flows and how it flows. The water was flowing out from under the threshold. For the water of the river to flow from the house, there has to be a hole, an opening. For us to have the flowing of the river of water of life, we must have an opening. So we need to come to the Lord and open to the Lord. This opening will allow the Lord to flow through us. This is very important. So then, the next thing is that it flowed to the east, for the house faced east. In Ezekiel 43:2, it tells us that the glory of the Lord was coming from the east. Therefore, here the east refers to God's glory. And in our morning watch, we had a verse from 1 Corinthians that we have to do all to the glory of God. I don't know how you feel about that. I usually consider the Lord's table. The Lord's table is to the glory of God. And how we need that the Lord's table is high, that he gets the praises that he deserves. But no, in everything we do, we have to do for the glory of Christ. For instance, we prophesy. When you prophesy, are you hoping that the saints will say, Amen? Forget it. If that's the purpose for your prophesying, you will not have the flow of life. Our prophesying must be for the glory of God. Then the water will flow in the meetings. And we should tell the Lord, Lord, I'm here for your glory. If everyone would come like this, the living water will flow in the meetings. And not just for our acknowledgement. Then, whatever we do should be for his glory. Then the next thing is that the water flowed down below the south side of the house. Since the house faced east, then the going down is on the right side of the house. And the right side in the Bible is the place of preeminence. We need to let this flow of life have the preeminence in the meetings. Oh, so we can all receive life. So this is so important that it has the preeminence. So actually, concerning our being in the church life, our serving in the church life, it's not how smart we are, how diligent we are. We need to be diligent. How faithful we are, we need to be faithful. But the matter is the inner flow of life. If the flow is there, it's fine. But if the flow isn't there, we need to stop and repent. The flow is not for us. The flow is for us to be able to flow out in life to others, for them to be built up. So whether the flow is low or high depends on what we are. Then I'm going on in this verse. Now in verse 2. No, I'm sorry. The end of verse 1. The water flowed down below the south side of the house on the south of the altar. Oh, what is the altar? Signifies the cross. That means for the deep flow of life, we need the cross. We need the cross to cross us out. There's no cheap or quick way to have the flow of life, only through the cross. You know, hymn 631 tells us, if, this is the point, if, no death, no life. We need to die at the cross so that we could have the life of God. We need to die to ourselves. The more we die to ourselves, the more life we will have. Then, also, in the Old Testament, the altar was called the altar of burnt offering. The burnt offering was burned totally for God. The priest didn't get anything, and is a picture of consecration. For us to have the deep flow of life, we need to be consecrated. I remember when I was a young adult, in my first job, I took time off and went to a conference. And at that conference, I consecrated myself to the Lord. But that's a long time ago. We need a fresh consecration. A fresh consecration to the Lord. How often? Of course, whenever we come to a crossroads, whenever we come to major decisions, we need to take the will of the Lord. But what about if it's none of that? Actually, to be quite honest, our consecration should be every day. Then it will be fresh. So we need to be consecrated. In our life, we need this consecration. So now we need to read verses 2 to 5 of Ezekiel 47. Then a 1,000 cubits. Amen. Well, to have the deep flow of life, we need to be measured. Do you like to be measured? I don't think so. I don't like to be measured. And to be measured is to be examined, to be tested, to be judged, and possessed. This is what the Bible, the meaning in the Bible, in the writings of the prophets, whenever the Lord came to the house of God, like here in these verses, he was measuring. Measuring is to possess. So he needs to possess us. He needs to be our Lord. And we need to be judged, right? He was the man of bronze, and bronze means judgment. Well, how do we react? Suppose we're having morning watch and we open to the Lord. We don't just pray, read. We don't just have our prayer request, but we fellowship with the Lord. And suppose the Lord says, "What about this?" How do we answer? Do we say, "Amen, Lord, do it"? Or we say, "Oh, Lord, I got to do this, that. How about another time?" We need to say amen to the Lord whenever he shows us anything that needs to be taken care of that he has judged. So then we have this measuring, and there are four measurings, right? In the first measuring in verse 4, water was to the knees. You could still walk. Then the next measuring was up to the loins. You could still walk. Then it measured again. It was up to the loins. Even then you could walk, but finally it's a river. Do you like to be in a river that carries you? We heard in the meeting that there were some people that there was this river that has some current, and they just let the current take them. But I'm sure we don't want that. We want independence. May the Lord deliver us from that, that we could be carried where the Lord wants us to go, that we could do God's will, what he desires. So this is the main point. We all need to be measured. We need to tell the Lord, "Lord, I'm willing to be measured for the building up of your house." So then let's read verse 9. "And every living creature, arms in every place." "He shall be healed, and everything shall be where the river comes." So we see here, the water of the sea shall be healed. This is the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea has no life. But when the water of life, the river of the water of life comes, even the Dead Sea will be healed. So this is the thing, that this is the river of life. The church life does not need human solutions. It needs the river of the water of life. We need more life to swallow up death. This is the real solution. This is a normal situation in the proper church life. And then now let's read 11. "But its swamps and its marshes will not be healed. They shall be left for salt." So here we see even the river of water of life, there is something that this river cannot heal. And that is a marsh. It cannot heal the swamp or the marsh. What's the point about a swamp? A swamp is, well, it's not full of water, and it's not dry. It's neither nor. So it's a picture of compromise. We should not have compromise. You know, the church in Laodicea, in Revelation chapter 3, the Lord told them, I wish you were cold or hot. I often wondered, how come it was okay to be cold? Well, if you're cold, maybe you realize suddenly you're cold and you look for the Lord. But if you are neither cold nor hot, but in between, you probably feel okay. If that's the case, we need to repent and turn to the Lord. And then the wonderful thing that we see in verse 11 is that wherever the tree, wherever the river went, everything lived, because it's the tree of life. Our enjoyment of the Lord as a life-giving spirit, as the flow of life, will do what? Will enable us to minister life to others. You may say, well, really? Yes, really. Let's read 2 Corinthians 3, 5. Now that we are sufficient of ourselves, not anything as from ourselves. Our sufficiency is of God. Ah, when we are in the right relationship to the Lord, our sufficiency is from God. This means that if we're not able to prophesy, something's wrong. We need to come to the Lord. And the Lord is faithful. He will show us what is the problem so we can dispense Christ into the saints. If we cannot, we don't have the flow. And then let's read verse 6, the last verse. Who has also made us sufficient. Ministers of a new covenant, ministers not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So here we see the talking about ministers of the Spirit. You know, this is quite shocking. The letter kills? Well, what happens is, if you take the letter as letter, if you don't take the letter as the Word of God, it will kill you. It won't give you life. It can't give you life. Only when we touch the Word with the Spirit, then it is life. Then it will enable us to function, because actually this functioning is by the Lord's doing, the Lord's enabling. I mean, this is what these verses say. Our sufficiency is from God. So if we are looking to the Lord, we need to ask him, Lord, make me sufficient. I'm not sufficient, but you are. Praise the Lord.